Tennessee is set for the final weekend of June official visitors. A massive weekend to close strong with some of these prospects that might be on the brink a little bit. And hopefully it'll turn into some July commitments. Who will be in town? We'll tell you here on a Friday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, and happy Friday. Welcome to Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day. So glad to have you guys here with us to conclude your work week. I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can always find this podcast on social media, on Twitter at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. And thank you so much, as always, for making Locked On Vols your first listen, your first watch on YouTube, and literally wherever you find your podcast. Got a fun show coming up today. We're going to talk recruiting in segment one. In segment two, we'll shine our spotlight on Jerome Carvin on the offensive line. And then in segment three, Brian Niedermeyer had some comments, had some tweets. And I know that's been a topic of discussion over the last couple of days. I've put it off because, quite frankly, I just don't care, and I think it's silly, but enough of you guys have asked about it, so I'm going to bring it to the show here in segment three. Do have a couple of topics we're going to hit on early next week. Jeremy Pruitt joined a podcast earlier this week and had some nice things to say about the University of Tennessee, a little bizarre. I want to detail that, hear from Tennessee's former head coach. We'll have some audio on that and a couple other things like the NBA draft. Full disclosure, I am recording Friday's episode Thursday evening, prior to the beginning of the NBA draft. So Kennedy Chandler will likely be drafted in the first round coming up here in real time at the time of this recording. Just in a couple hours, we'll discuss where he's going and all that good stuff coming up on a Monday show. So I really do appreciate you guys for hanging out. That's kind of the rundown here for today. So without further ado, let's get into it. This is your Friday Locked On Vols. Now, a massive recruiting weekend coming up. I say this, and it's really not hyperbole. I mean, all these June weekends are huge for recruiting. June is the new January. Before the early signing day, before the early signing period, you had every single weekend of January filled up because you had National Signing Day in early February. Now, the early National Signing Period has kind of taken away that thunder as, you know, recruits come in and they see the games and the official visit throughout the season, and they come in the weeks leading up to early signing day, and that's whenever you get the bulk of your class. But, you know, it's about to be a dead period, all right? And the entire month of July up until the last week, there'll be one more week/weekend of official visitors in the last month of July, and then it's going to go dead again for the entire month of August. So, you know, for some of these prospects, like we're going to mention right here in just a moment, it's time for Tennessee to take another swing, a big old hack, put their best foot forward and see if it's good enough so that some of these guys can come in and commit maybe in the month of July. So we'll go through this list, who's going to be on campus and kind of where do they stand right now with the University of Tennessee. We'll tell you all that right now. So biggest, I guess it's kind of how you look at it, but one of the bigger players that are going to be on campus this weekend is a guy that's been committed for quite some time, but he's your five-star quarterback. He is the cornerstone of your class, and he is Nico Iamaleava, the Long Beach, California native, the guy that has been doing everything he can to recruit for the University of Tennessee. He will be back in on campus for his official visit, and he will be acting as the role of recruiter. He's going to be coming in trying to recruit the entire weekend, try to get some of the likes of these other guys to jump in the boat and kind of have fun with his Tennessee family once again. Nico is committed. Nico doesn't need this official visit, but he's going to use it to help out the coaching staff and help out the other commits that are in this class to kind of recruit some of these other guys in there. One of the bigger guys that's going to be on campus that Tennessee is sitting pretty well with right now, but we'll try to, you know, close the door with, will be John Slaughter, a defensive back from South Haven, Mississippi, a three-star safety, and Slaughter has been trending towards Tennessee for quite some time. He has been all Vol for a while now. His family loves the University of Tennessee, and I think Tennessee can close the door here pretty, you know, soon in the coming weeks. So this will be a big weekend for three-star safety John Slaughter as well. A massive, massive weekend will stay in the defensive backfield for Christian Conyer, a four-star cornerback, the number one player on Tennessee's board at the cornerback position, the number one player in the state of Kentucky. He is a, he's not a nationally ranked recruit per Rivals, but he should be. He is a really, really nice player. And Christian Conyer has been, you know, he's been sitting well with Tennessee for a very, very long time now. He's been sitting really, really, really well with Tennessee for months now. And up until last weekend when he took his official visit, it's been a Kentucky-Tennessee battle, and up until last weekend when he took his official visit with the Wildcats of Kentucky, they took a big old swing, and they've got him something to think about right now. And so it's up to Tennessee to get that momentum back this weekend for Christian Connor. He has a July 3rd commitment announcement. It's going to be either Tennessee or Kentucky. Up until last weekend, I would have said Tennessee, no doubt about it. Kentucky has given him something to think about, so a massive weekend for the University of Tennessee with Christian Connor. Some other players at the cornerback position outside of Christian Connor who's going to be in, and these guys, it's going to be huge for them as well, because if you swing and miss, I still think Tennessee will get Christian Connor, but if you swing and miss on him, these next two guys are just so vital. Jordan Matthews, a four-star cornerback from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and four-star Jakeem Jackson of Kissimmee, Florida. Those two guys coming in officially, they have been, you know, right there under Christian Connor on the cornerback board for quite some time, and they will be taking their official visits with the University of Tennessee this weekend. Jordan Matthews, 11th ranked player at the position. He's a top 130 prospect per Rivals in the class. Jakeem Jackson, 12th at his position at cornerback, and again, a really nice player out of Florida. We move to the defensive line. Tyree Weathersby, a three-star defensive lineman, good size on, about 6'4", 260. He's coming in on an official visit. So Tennessee's been sitting pretty well right here for, you know, a while now. I don't know how close he is to a decision, but Tennessee's been, you know, sitting well, like I said. He's been up to Tennessee a couple of times, and you know, this will be just another trip to Knoxville. He continues to get closer to a decision. So, you know, we'll have to see how much this weekend can pay off for a guy like Tyree Weathersby for Rodney Garner and staff. Another guy that Tennessee's going to take a big old swing at this weekend is a guy that they've had up a couple times in Hunter Osborne. Tennessee was in good spot, and then Clemson has been coming hard for Hunter Osborne. And you know about Clemson, if you commit to Clemson, and Hunter Osborne's not publicly committed anywhere, but if you commit to Clemson, they pretty much tell you, hey, you're not taking any more official visits anywhere else. And what Dabo Swinney does, and again, I guess you can't really argue with it because he has a successful program, and he has been one of the top programs in the entire country for the past, you know, 7-8 years. He pretty much says, hey, you know, your spot's available now, but if you wait any longer, it might not be available for you. And so he pretty much scares prospects into committing to Clemson. There's been some rumors that Hunter Osborne gave Clemson a silent commit last weekend, but the fact that he's here would lead me to believe that it's wide open, right? But it's, you know, Clemson's coming hard, so Tennessee will need to do well with a four-star defensive lineman, Hunter Osborne from Trussville, Alabama, a top 130 prospect in the country and a top 10 player at his position. Some of you guys have asked about the linebacker spot. Jeremiah Telander, three-star linebacker from Gainesville, Georgia, a guy that has been trending Tennessee for quite some time. To be completely honest with you guys, I thought Tennessee would have wrapped up Jeremiah Telander at the beginning of summer. When I spoke with him after January's Junior Day, after March's Junior Day, he was here in April again to see a orange and white scrimmage type deal. And again, I thought he might be ready to pull the trigger on those days. He's been all vol, but North Carolina's been coming on strong, so it'll be important for Tennessee to get back in this one, steal the momentum away from Carolina, and do well with linebacker Jeremiah Telander. Offensive tackle, another one in this class. Tennessee is swinging at a lot of them. We'll talk about the big fish here in just a moment. But this guy is Shamarad Umar. I don't know his last name. Umarov. Nonetheless, really, really nice player out of Alpharetta, Georgia, where he attends Denmark High School. He and Glenn Ellerby have really hit it off here lately, and Georgia's also in this running, but it'll be big for Tennessee to try to get in good graces with the offensive tackle. The offensive tackle in the class and the one that Tennessee is going to, if I had to kind of power rank prospects on campus this weekend, that Tennessee needs to be of the utmost importance, it's, you know, 1A, Francis Mauioa, 1B Christian Connor, or even vice versa. Big Francis, 6'5", 330 pounds, a four-star player per Rivals, a top 20 player nationally. He has been on, this will be his fifth official visit in the past 3 weeks, and his family's been on him the entire way, so you know those guys are just dog-tired, right? But he has had a great relationship with Tennessee. He has a great relationship with Nico Iamaliava. He has given Tennessee a chance. He came up to Tennessee for the Memorial Day premier events and had a great time. Decided he would take one of his five official visits here. This is going to be a Tennessee-Southern Cal battle, I do believe. His family lives in American Samoa, but they're probably going to relocate somewhere in the United States, and that might play a factor. But this is going to be a Southern Cal-Tennessee fight here, and I think this weekend will kind of determine, you know, which side that's going to be on, right? I don't think Florida's going to be a factor in this one, but Francis, a huge prospect, literally and figuratively, on campus this weekend. A lot of you guys have asked about the running back position, and again, I'll be completely honest, I don't think this running back class is very good for the class of 2022, or 2023, just from me to you guys, but, you know, a guy, Treyon Webb is not on the board any longer. Of course, Roderick went ahead and committed elsewhere. You know, you got a lot of these, you know, players starting to seemingly disappear from the running back board. But Jeremiah Cobb's a guy that's been there, and he's been on the board for quite some time, and he will be on campus officially to visit with the University of Tennessee. Tennessee's already got one back committed. Jeremiah Cobb is a different type of back. He's more of a scat back, 5'11", about 185 pounds. Really, it looks like it's coming down to Tennessee and Auburn. And that's a no contest because Auburn is in complete flux right now. So we'll see if Tennessee can make some noise this weekend, jumping back to the leaderboard for Jeremiah Cobb. Ethan Davis, four-star tight end commit, will be back on campus. An absolute stud. This coaching staff loves him. You heard Alex Goler speak on him just a little bit. He couldn't say him by name, of course. But he said he's really excited about a guy that's coming in next year, and that's Ethan Davis. You heard John Garcia talk about how well he did at the overtime 7-on-7 event in Las Vegas last weekend. Ethan Davis will be playing the role of recruiter as well this weekend, but he will be back on campus for his official visit. And then another position that is obviously in flux as well is wide receiver. Kyler Casper, reclassified, goes to Oregon. You have Cardale Tate that commits to Ohio State. Noah Rogers, who's not been on the board for quite some time, committed to Ohio State. You've got all these guys that are going elsewhere. And so Nathan Laycock has been a guy that's jumped up to the board and for Tennessee coaches. They offered him a couple months ago, and he will be on campus for his official visit this weekend. Really likes Kelsey Pope. So Tennessee needs to land. I'm not saying it'll happen this weekend, but Tennessee needs to land in the month of July or maybe even August a wide receiver, Nathan Laycock, and I believe that this weekend will go a big way in that regard. So those are your official visitors. It's 10-plus visitors. I think the count is like it may be, oh goodness, I want to say 12, you know, for the weekend. It's going to be a busy, busy weekend. So if you guys are VolQuest, we'll have plenty of coverage at VolQuest.com on Sunday when those guys leave. And, of course, you can always follow me on Twitter at _Kaner. So big-time, massive recruiting weekend coming up for the University of Tennessee, and those are the players who will be in here this weekend for official visits. We'll shine our spotlight on Jerome Carvin when we return, but BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your sports betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, reality television, and so much more. And BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest, easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Yes, PGA, as well as that other league that's been starting up. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn about all the latest trends and all the action. BetOnline.net, it is where the game starts. Back in it for a Friday show here on Locked On Vols. I am Eric Kane. Thank you guys so much for choosing to hang out with me and listen to Locked On Vols to conclude your work week or get your weekend started, however you kind of want to look at that. Today's starter spotlight shines on Jerome Carvin, offensive lineman. We continue to work down from right to left of the offensive line. We are now at the left guard position, and the presumed starter and the guy that will be starting, barring health, of course, will be Jerome Carvin. So Jerome Carvin is a guy that if you look at his Pro Football Focus grades for the season of 2021, not very good. I mean, ranking 42nd on Tennessee's offense in terms of overall grades. Now, he played more snaps than almost anybody at 896 on the season. I think Darnell Wright tallied more. He played 922 snaps on the season. That's the only player that played more snaps on the year for Tennessee's offense than that of Jerome Carvin. And Jerome Carvin is a guy that really, in my opinion, was, you know, one of Tennessee's saviors last year because, and I mentioned it talking about Cooper Mays yesterday a little bit, but you have a left guard that had to move down and play center, had to play out of his position last year for the betterment of the team because nobody else, you know, really they could trust to snap the football, right? Jerome Carvin's a guy that snapped the football a little bit, you know, when Jim Chaney and Jeremy Pruitt were here. You know, but he's a guard, all right? He's a guard, but he had to play center a little bit because Cooper Mays was out last year for points and times. You don't want that to happen. You want to keep him at guard because not only whenever, like I said yesterday, when you move him to center, you have a guy playing out of position, but then you just have a rotating cast of characters coming in to take his spot at left guard. So really, you're getting like two new starters on the offensive line, or two backups, if you will. So hopefully Cooper Mays will stay healthy this year and stay at the center position so Jerome Carvin can focus on just playing left guard. But you look at his, you know, again, it doesn't tell the whole story, but it's something, right? And I'm a big fan of the Pro Football Focus grades. Jerome Carvin's grades were not great from last year. 51.6% is how he graded, 42nd on Tennessee's offense on the season, 52% in terms of the pass blocking, and then in terms of run blocking, he was at 52.8%. So really, just not you know, fantastic grades. But again, I think a lot of that was he was moving around from guard to center, and quite frankly, at center, he was focusing on so many other things that a lot of times it kind of slowed him down a little bit. He had a really, really good game against Ball State in terms of pass blocking at 83%. You know, pass blocked really well against Missouri at 79%, 82.6% against Alabama in terms of pass blocking grades, 73.5% against South Alabama pass blocking grades, 76.8% against Kentucky in pass blocking grades. But in run blocking, that was kind of the bugaboo for Jerome Carvin last year, when he really never had a game where he played better in terms of a grade than 63% in the run blocking category, and that was against South Carolina. Everything else, a couple more 60s. He had some 50s. He had one game or two games that I'm seeing right now in the 40s in terms of run blocking, 48.5% at Florida, 49.3% against Kentucky in run blocking. So, you know, not the best in terms of PFF grades in the season of 2021 for Jerome Carvin. But hey, again, it's not everything, it's something, but you can't ignore it. But Jerome Carvin was one of the saviors last year for, one of the heroes last year for the University of Tennessee and its offense. So, you know, the hope is that you can get a healthy Cooper Mays and keep Jerome Carvin over at the left guard position. So really, you only have to focus on breaking in one new starter at the left tackle position. And, you know, on Monday when we do Starter Spotlight, I'm not sure which one of those guys I'll probably end up talking about all three of the guys that are in contention over there at left tackle. I know this is Starter Spotlight, but I truly don't know, have a clue. I think it might be J.J. Crawford, but I'm not sure. We'll have to see. But, you know, when I do the offensive line preview later on heading into fall camp, you know, we can rehash it again. But nonetheless, you hope that Cooper Mays can stay healthy, Jerome Carvin can stay left guard. That way you're only breaking in one new starter. But, you know, Jerome Carvin's a guy that they put in front of the media. He's well-spoken. This will be his fifth year, elected to come back to the University of Tennessee at the conclusion of last year, and he's going to be a senior leader. Jeremy Pruitt, back when he was here, thought very highly of Jerome Carvin. I know it was the year of 2020 when they tried to redshirt Jerome Carvin, but they simply couldn't because he was too good to keep off the field. Again, that was his sophomore season. They wanted to redshirt him to get another year out of him, but lo and behold, you know, the year was 2020, so you got another year of eligibility anyway. But he was dealing with a lot of injuries that year, and I remember it was a drive against Kentucky back when Tennessee was winning that football game before it all went sour in 2020. And it was, I believe it was the drive coming out of halftime in Tennessee. That's, you know, when Will Friend and Jeremy Pruitt kept rotating offensive linemen, which was just the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't coach football at a high level. They know more football than they've forgotten more football than I'll ever know. But my God, rotating offensive linemen is, again, I'll say it here a million times, rotating offensive linemen is the stupidest thing that's ever done in football. That's why you don't see it often. You know why? Because it's a position to where you don't rotate. Goodness gracious. But the old regime did, and I just thought it was stupid. But back to my point, they put Jerome Carvin in there for the first series of the second half, and he played that guard spot, and Tennessee marched straight down the field and scored, punched it in, you know, took the lead in that football game. Was that the reason why Jerome Carvin was in there? I mean, you know, it might be a contributing factor, but, you know, offensively, that wasn't a great game for the University of Tennessee. Jerome Carvin played that series, Tennessee scored, then he didn't play anymore. It's like, what are you doing, right? And I know he was dealing with injuries, but he's a guy that's good on this offensive line, and he, along with Cooper Mays and Darnell Wright, are the leaders on this offensive line, and so we got to look for a good season from Jerome Carvin this upcoming season. It'll be his final season in the Big Orange, and we'll see what he can give us. But today's Starter Spotlight shines on Jerome Carvin. Hey, we'll come back and we'll discuss a little bit of Brian Niedermeyer to conclude a Friday show here on Locked On Vols. But let me tell you about Rock Auto. The ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain of auto parts store to stock up on all the parts that you need. Why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts off their computer, choosing only the brands and specifications that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers and you have access to rockauto.com right from your pocket. Save time and money when using rockauto.com. Why choose to spend up to 30 to 50, sometimes even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family-owned business serving it to do-it-yourselfers and professionals for over 20 years. The prices at RockAuto.com are always so reliably low for every single customer. They have everything you can possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps to motor oils, even new carpets. And you can go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to all of your auto part needs. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car and your truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Welcome back into Locked On Vols for the final time this week. I am Eric Kane. We'll be back at it stronger than ever on a Monday. And like I said, we got plenty of stuff to recap from over the weekend. We'll get to where Kennedy Chandler is drafted to in the NBA. Like I said, I'm recording this show before the start of the first round of the NBA draft. Quite frankly, I wake up at 4:30 every morning, so I am not staying up to the end of that to record unless I have to. Again, those 9 o'clock Eastern time basketball start times in basketball season can go straight to hell. So I'm not choosing to do that if I don't absolutely have to. So we'll get to that on Monday. We'll recap the official visitor weekend. And I do want to get into that topic from Jeremy Pruitt from the podcast he joined when he was speaking well on the University of Tennessee. Play that audio. So that's what you have to look forward to coming up on a Monday show, along with the starter spotlight as always. Okay, so speaking of Jeremy Pruitt and his regime, one of his best recruiter, and make all the jokes you want. Obviously, he got fired for cause. McDonald's bags, which, whatever. That report is just simply, I'm not saying they didn't cheat, but that cash in McDonald's bags is simply not true. Nonetheless, Brian Niedermeyer. He was now the defensive coordinator at IMG Academy in Florida. IMG Academy is a prestigious a private school that is known for its powerhouse in football. It recruits and brings some of the best high school football and Division I prospects down to Florida, Bradenton, Florida, each and every year. I vacation down in Santa Maria Island and Longboat Key every single year in May. Really, my family does. I go down there and just mooch off then for about 3 or 4 days of Memorial Day weekend, typically just about every year. And I drive by Bradenton and IMG, on the way to the island every single time I'm down there. It's beautiful. It is truly awesome. That is a very, very good spot to be coaching football if you're in the high school ranks. And obviously, Jeremy Pruitt's, Shelton Felton, and, Shelton Felton's at Valdosta right now as the head coach as well. So, Brian Niedermeyer and Shelton Felton, two guys, the two assistants that were fired for cause off that staff, along with Jeremy Pruitt, they're sitting pretty well in terms of where they're coaching high school-wise until they, one day down the line, if a show cause is issued and once that's done, whatever the case may be, they can get back into coaching college if they so choose. But that's where Brian Niedermeyer is right now. He's the defensive coordinator down at IMG Academy. So why am I talking about Brian Niedermeyer? A lot of you guys have been asking about it. We spent some time talking about it on the radio. It's been all over social media earlier this week. But when Cardale Tate committed to Ohio State, Brian Niedermeyer quote tweeted his commitment tweet and said, "You love to see it." Why is this relevant? Well, again, Brian Niedermeyer, defensive coordinator at IMG Academy. Cornell Tate, a 5-star wide receiver prospect who attends IMG Academy. One can say that he was just supporting his guy, a guy that is part of his team that he's a, coach on. One can say he was being petty towards the University of Tennessee. He 100% was being petty towards the University of Tennessee. That there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There was an agenda there, and he pressed it. That's what he was doing. Why do I know this for a fact? Well, if you look back a week before that, when Tennessee was ousted from Super Regional play, Tennessee baseball, from Notre Dame, Brian Niedermeyer also tweeted that day and said, "You love to see it." Brian Niedermeyer is not a friend of the University of Tennessee right now. Overall, I think this is a silly subject because I sit here and I'm thinking, okay, guy gets fired from job guy's not going to like job, the guy's not going to like former employer that well, right? Makes sense to me. It's like, well, of course, he doesn't like Tennessee. He got fired from Tennessee. It just kind of is what it is. Now, my question is, why are you mad at the University of Tennessee? Shouldn't you be mad at Jeremy Pruitt? You were a part of his staff. You were either doing illegal things directly or indirectly under his watch. But regardless, it was under his watch. So shouldn't your frustrations be lent more towards a Jeremy Pruitt? And maybe they are. I don't know. But it's not like the University of Tennessee did anything. Now, you know, Tennessee wanted Jeremy Pruitt gone. This is all my opinion. But Tennessee wanted Jeremy Pruitt gone, so they continued to dig and dig and dig and dig and dig and did so much to find stuff to fire their football staff with cause for. I'm pretty sure at other major universities, they would have stopped digging, and it would have been nothing more than a slap on the wrist. But Tennessee wanted Jeremy Pruitt gone, so they continued to dig, 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 and Jeremy Pruitt, Shelton Felton, and Brian Niedermeyer were fired for cause, and there was about 8 or 9 recruiting staff members who were fired for cause as well. So I don't think Brian Niedermeyer is a big fan of the University of Tennessee, and in one aspect, I'm like, okay, that's fair. It makes complete sense. Who cares? It's a non-story, right? But on the other side of me, I'm just kind of like, well, you know, you're the one that broke the rules, right? And so University of Tennessee is doing what it thought was right. It's not like you can be too frustrated with the University of Tennessee. But I digress from that aspect. Here's what kind of brings this up. Our guy SoxoFred_22 chimes in on the DMs, and he said, hey, what does the impact of Brian Niedermeyer being the defensive coordinator at IMG Academy have on the players that we recruit at the school? I seriously doubt it had much to do with Carnell Tate sweepstakes, but going forward for guys like Big Francis, who's an IMG guy that we just spoke on, Brandon Witten, Devin Hyatt, etc., I don't think it's any stretch to think that there is hard feelings from Niedermeyer towards Tennessee, so I don't think it'd be a stretch that he may negatively impact the ability to land prospects from IMG. And that is a fair and valid question, Fred. It really, really is. I don't know Brian Niedermeyer. I don't think that he's out there saying, oh man, you don't need to go to Tennessee. The weather sucks. You know, they suck. They're going to be the seller of the SEC. Yada, yada, yada. People in Knoxville are trash. I don't think he's out there saying that. Again, I don't know for sure, but I don't believe that he's out there negatively recruiting for the University of Tennessee. But I will say this. You're all just sitting around the water cooler in there, you know, coming out of the showers and getting towels on. And let's not be freaks here, towels on. And you're all just sitting there hanging out in the locker room, having locker room talk. And Niedermeyer walks by and you're all just shooting the crap in there and everything. And, you know, they're talking about recruitment and everything. And, you know, a prospect says, hey, Needs, man, what do you think about Tennessee? You spent a couple of years there. I mean, I don't think he's going to have glowing remarks, right? I mean, he got fired from the University of Tennessee. Major impact, I don't think there's going to be one, right? I mean, you got these guys that know their value in terms of what they are as a prospect, what they value in terms of what they can make in name, image, likeness, what they can do potentially if they make it, that they reach the NFL. They know their value, they know their worth, and if they have a connection with the University of Tennessee, if they have a connection and believe that the development will be there to get them where they want to be, they're going to go to the University of Tennessee no matter who says if, ands, buts about it, right? So I don't believe Niedermeyer is actually like negatively impacting Tennessee in that regard, but that's an absolute fair question. But I do think if somebody says, hey, what are your thoughts on Tennessee? Probably not the brightest remarks that would be made. I think this is a complete non-story in terms of the Brian Niedermeyer thing. I think everybody was just getting mad over whatever. Like, look, he got fired from Tennessee. Of course, he's going to have some resentment. Now, having said that, I wouldn't do that. You look like a complete fool. You look like a selfish little petty little sixth grader is what he looks like. And at the end of the day, he got fired for college and he's coaching in high school football. So it just continues to be a bad look for him, in my opinion. So I wanted to bring that on the show. I know a lot of you guys have been asking about it. Those are my thoughts on that, and we'll leave it in the rear view. But Fred, great question, because that's completely fair. To answer it again, in short, I don't think it'll have much of an impact at all. I truly don't. That's going to do it for this week's Locked On Vols episodes. Guys, thanks so much as always. We've got another big week coming up next week, and hopefully we will speak to another assistant football coach for the University of Tennessee. Thanks, guys, for the interaction about Alex Golish yesterday. He was good, wasn't he? He was really, really good, and look forward to getting and speaking with him and some others in the very near future. Get more of the SEC by making Locked On SEC your second listen. Every single day, host Chris Gordy and the local experts on the Locked On take you across the SEC in 30 minutes. Make Locked On SEC your second listen right behind Locked On Vols, which is your first listen each and every single day. Guys, thank you so much as always. Couldn't do it without you. Have a great and a safe weekend, and we will do it again on Monday, everybody.